Hi, my name is John. I'm a sinner, and that means I have done significant damage in the lives of other people that I want to love, and it needs to be repaired. And the good news is God's working on this together with me and in his family. The worse your story, the warmer you're welcome. No matter what it is for you right now, the warmer you're welcome. Jesus is just that way. And the beauty is your mess. I got a big mess. We all do. Can become your message. We're journeying together through the 12 steps and looking now at the ninth step, which is having made a list of all the people we'd harm, all of them, and become willing to make amends. Then in step 9, we actually make direct amends, except for where to do so would cause harm to that person or to other folks. Now, here's what's happening in this step. I want to talk to you for a few moments about how in this step we go from having a cold heart to a warm heart. A cold heart just resists taking this step, and a warm heart is wide open to it. This is what it says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. God promises, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean." I can't, but he can. "I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep all of my laws." Now, first, I want to give you a picture of a heart of cold heart, heart of stone that's resistant, stubborn, and I'm very capable of creating a heart like that inside me towards other people, and then contrast that with what happens when a heart melts. And then I'll give you some practical advice to kind of finish our look at step 9. But first of all, here is what a heart of stone looks like. This is written by an author who grew up in what he felt like was a quite legalistic and punitive denomination. So I'm not going to mention any names to not make it any more complicated. But this is a little picture of hearts of stone. Women in our family, as mad as they got, always made up right away. They were shouting back and forth, then weeping and gnashing of teeth, then a little silence, and finally a little talk, and then more tears. And then you had your arms around each other, and peace was made. Men were different. No noise, no shouting, only a quiet, bitter voice saying, "I'm not angry." "What do you mean angry?" "I'm not one bit angry. I'm hurt, yes, but that's all right. I'll get over it." A soft, violent voice. "I know this voice." "I can't believe you would say that to me." "No, don't apologize. You don't need to apologize. You said what you meant, and I'll just remember it." And you knew that he would. And there's this part of me that's the heart of stone, will not only be resentful, but actually nurture resentment. And then I don't want to take this step. I don't want to make amends. This chapter goes on to picture a meal, a gathering of people who were part of this denomination where they were cursed with a surplus of Bible scholars and a deficit of peacemakers. And so, you know, big arguments and divisions, and "I won't have anything to do with you, and because you connect with you, I won't have anything to do with you either." And people trying to bring together a couple of these brothers to a meal where amends might get made and reconciliation might be achieved, but they don't want to do it. And in fact, even sitting down to pray became a problem. The host decided, let's make it a silent prayer, and then nobody gets to use prayer to beat the other person over the head. But the problem with silent prayer is nobody wanted to be the first one to quit praying. So the opposite factions would look up and see, oh, they're still praying, so I got to go back down. And they're just stuck. It's becoming the longest table grace in history. And Flo slid her chair back, rose, went to the kitchen, and brought out the food that they were competing to see who could be more thankful for. She set the hay down where the goats could get it. Tears began to run down faces. It's true what they say, that smell is the key that unlocks our deepest memories. And with their eyes closed, the smell of fried chicken and gravy made those men into boys again, It was years ago. They were fighting. And the mother's voice from on high said, "You two stop it and get in here and have your dinners. Now, I mean it." The blessed cornmeal crust and rapturous gravy brought the memory to mind, and the stony hearts of the two giants melted. And they raised their heads and filled their plates, and slowly peace was made over that glorious chicken. "I will take away your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Now, in this step 9, we take some of the most direct, powerful, courageous action here. In the big book, it says, and this is so important, we just forget this often in the church, the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. It is not essentially affirming correct doctrine. It is a way of life that involves supremely from the heart following Jesus with his help. And nowhere do we need that help more than when I decide to make amends by going to somebody else where I'm going to have to swallow my pride. It's going to be difficult and maybe complicated. So let me say a little bit about kind of what words should you use. It's a good idea if you're going to make amends, we're on this journey together to make amends with people, to think ahead of time, what might I say? The prodigal son, before he goes home, he thinks quite carefully about what amends does he want to make? How does he want to talk to his father? Now, his father is so glad to see him that he just blows past all that, but it's worth thinking that through. Folks who are in recovery will often talk about that. I'm dealing with my addiction, and as part of my recovery, I need to make amends. And so words like that can be helpful. Or just something as simple as, "I've been reflecting on some things in my life, and there's something that I want to take care of in our relationship. There's a regret that I have." I, at one point, had to go through many, many conversations that were essentially a step 9. And this was the format that I would use. First of all, I would think about it from the perspective of the other person and try to name to them as clearly as I could, "Here is the harm that I did to you. Here's how I understand it impacting you." And try to do that with no defense, with no explanation, just naming it. And then naming my sorrow. And then I would go on to say, "I've tried to think about this from your perspective as best I could, but since you were on the receiving end of this, I'm sure there are ways that you experienced it that I'm not thinking through. What else would be good for me to understand? What else can I hear?" And especially if there's issues that have been going on long term, only saying my perspective on it, "Here's what I think," it can end up to the other person, to the person on the other side, kind of short-circuiting. And they, if they've been living with it for days, weeks, months, years, they've got all kinds of observations that I won't have. So to be really interested, to really want to know and invite them to speak into that, that's an important part of the process. And then the third movement in this conversation is, I would tell them, "Here's the amends that I would seek to make together with you. And I will be involved in this process or this counseling or reading this to seek to become different in the future. I would go back to another person if I had harmed their relationship with a third person. These are the amends that I would seek to make." And then I would ask them, "Are there any other amends that would be helpful? And just generally, is there anything else that I should hear?" And sometimes there were, not usually, but sometimes a few people talked about ways that I had done damage when I would use words to try to persuade or spin or hype in a way that was not congruent with what was really true or what felt to them like it would be honest and transparent and good. And that was painful to hear, but a really good thing to hear. So finding a script ahead of time, here's how I'm going to try to take direct amends. And then in some cases, you can't take direct amends. So folks who are pursuing the 12-step way will talk about making indirect amends. And that's where I might, for some reason, not be able to go directly, like the 9th step says, to the person that I've harmed. But I might be able indirectly to address it with other people. John Newton, who was a slave trader, became a Christian, eventually repentant, He was not able to go back to the people who had been on the ship and free them from the slavery that they had been sold into, but he became an ardent abolitionist and a minister, and he worked for the abolishment of the slave trade, and it was abolished in England, I think, towards the end of his life. Or Zacchaeus, he makes direct amends to the people that he had cheated out of money, but then he also gives away half of his possessions to the poor. That's indirect amends. Or I think with parents, sometimes there's a situation with parents where a child has died of an overdose. And that was not the parent's responsibility, but there may be amends, things that they wish that they could do over, or hurts that they wish that they could go back and make amends for, and they can't do with that child. But then they may end up working on the problem of addiction and awareness and education and traveling to do that. I know of cases where that's been done, and it's very powerful. That's indirect amends. I know in my own life there are certain relationships where I'm not able to make direct amends, but having conversations with other people who are in pain, maybe in similar areas, has become a very, very helpful and meaningful thing to me. So that's step 9. And we seek to bring about resolution. Sometimes amends involve resolving a problem that wasn't resolved. Sometimes coming back to a relationship where it had been severed, or sometimes restoring to somebody something that I had taken from them. But in all of that, God is taking away the heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh. And then keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series Steps, which is based on John's new book, recently released, also called Steps. So you could pick that book up anywhere that you like to purchase your books or find out more information about it at becomenew.com. If you're someone that would like to start practicing, working, doing the steps with a friend or a small group or your church, we've created a web portal for you that should get you all the resources you need to get started. You can just go to dothesteps.com. We are a community that's dedicated to growing spiritually in Christ one day at a time. And a big part of that is prayer. So there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for Become New and for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a prayer request, you can send it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.